If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter number 17. John, chapter number 17. Do you know, just a closer walk with thee?
Yes.
That's the song for invitation. Amen. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Any of you ever heard somebody pray? And when they prayed, it absolutely just, you, it was an awe. And you couldn't pray. You just wanted to listen to them pray. You just wanted to hear them pray. There's a man at Trinity that prays. He's an older man. And sometimes they'll give him to pray. And he's got a special seat there. He's about half crippled now. But when he prays, it's like heaven just comes to a screeching halt. Named Brother Jerry Payne. You just want to listen to him. Because it sounds like when he prays, everybody's shh, and God's listening. And it's just something special. My grandfather was that way. My grandfather was, he worked at the Inca plant there, retired from there. He was just a normal, not real educated man. And he didn't say a whole lot, but when he did speak, spoke the truth. Every word he said was truth. But I still remember as a little boy, my dad was a pastor. And sometimes his dad, my grandfather, would come and he'd say, "Daddy, would you close us in prayer?" And boy, he'd stand up and he'd start patting him sweaty hands on the back of that pew. And when he started praying, everything got quiet. And it got really special. Tonight I'm going to let you hear somebody pray. And you want to hear him pray. And you'll pay close attention. It's Jesus. You imagine being in a prayer closet and hearing the Son of God talk to the Father. Could you imagine that? Now, I've been in a lot of prayer meetings. I've been in prayer meetings where, I mean, everybody's ringing prayer bells and you can't listen, hardly hear yourself think. You know, people's praying. And I've seen people weep on the altar and I've seen a holy hush come over. But boy, when you imagine Jesus praying, what a serious prayer that would be. And tonight, you know what we're going to do? We're going to eavesdrop in, listen to his prayer. Guess who he's praying for? You. Think about that for a second. A lot of times we read the Bible and we read it as stories. But tonight, imagine Jesus praying for you. And that's what John chapter 17 is. And we'll pick it up right there in verse number 13 where Jesus says, "And now I come to thee," talking to the Father, "and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Now he's praying for the disciples there, but he wants to make sure, the Holy Ghost wants to make sure when we read that 2,000 years later, that we understand he's talking about us too. Because the next verse he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That's me. That's you. If you've believed and you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that's you too. And there's a word here that he keeps using. And if yesterday morning, if you remember, I said, this week, Lord's laid on my heart, I want to preach on our walk with Jesus. And our walk started with step one. And step one was exactly what that man just got through testifying about. That's how he took his first step. That's how his dad took his first step. And all of you may have your own way that you took your first step. But your first step was when you looked unto the brazen serpent and you trusted Christ. That was your first step. And a lot of people don't understand how to take that first step because they think, well, I need to do this or I need to do that or I need to feel this way. Or I need to, you know, if I don't feel this way or if I don't have this kind of emotion, then I can't take that step. Let me tell you something. If you know you need to take the step, that's all you need. That's all you need. So there's different levels of conviction. There's different levels of emotion. There's different levels of all kinds of things. But nowhere in the Bible does it say you got to have a certain level of conviction or a certain level of this before you can be saved. It gives you one requirement. And that's to look. That's to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And until you do that, you can't enter in this first step. And you can't sing that song. Could you imagine coming to the end and not having that peace? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine stepping into eternity out of a Baptist church where the truth's been preached so much, to whom much is given, much is required?
Right.
And by the way, judgment is not on how many sins you've committed. Judge is on how much light you've rejected.
Amen.
And if you sit in a church like this, if you die and go to hell out of the Bible Belt of Tennessee and North Carolina and South Carolina and Virginia, hey, God have mercy on your soul. I couldn't imagine stepping into eternity rejecting the Lord Jesus from a place like this, from a level of truth like this. But tonight we need to see the first step is, of course, salvation. And if you're here tonight and you hadn't took the first step, hopefully the second step will seem so appealing to you. You say, hey, it sounds so good. I got to take step one. It's way too exciting for me. But step two is this. It's that word we see in John chapter 17 called sanctification. Sanctify. Now, a lot of people may, in the Baptist church, they may see that word and go, oh. If you ever get excited about it, you ever understand what it is, it'll pump you up.
Amen.
Sanctify means this, to set apart from unto something. That's what sanctification is. And you can't get your wires crossed on scriptures that are talking about sanctification and salvation, or you're going to believe salvation is by works.
Right.
But sanctification is a work that God does in us after we're in the family. We're growing closer to the Lord. Listen, God's here and God can't move. He's holy. He's not going to come down to our standards. He's holy and perfect. But what I want is I want to be closer to Him. And the closer, and that's what revival is, by the way.
Amen.
Revival is, I'm going to church, I'm in my routine, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But boy, something happened in that meeting. God stirred me, and He done a work in my heart, and I want to get a little closer. And that's what revival's truly about. And by the way, you say, but I want to see lost people get saved. You get closer to the Lord and you get around people, they'll get in too. And so the Bible says here in John chapter 17 that this is Jesus praying. And as He's praying, don't let Him lose you, because He says, this is what I'm praying for my people. In verse 17, He says, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. He says, I want you to set them apart unto me. Listen. So many preachers, and I trust your pastor, and I believe in him, and God's put our hearts together for a friendship. And I thank God for him. And I pray for him. I do. I've been praying for his back, and I'm praying for his sanity. Hey, we got a long ways to go. It's going to take God to work a miracle right there. But I'm praying for his sanity. But, you know, the thing about it is that so many preachers preach on sanctification, and they preach one side of it. Get away from the world. Get away from sin. And it's bow, 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 bow. And they're beating, beating, beating. Let me tell you something. Sanctification is setting apart from
unto
something. And if you don't get this part right, then all you got to do is a bunch of religious robots, and they ain't going to last long. Because, listen, human nature is, the more rules you put on us, after a while, we're going to rebel. I'm the preacher tonight. Let me tell you what I do if I go to a store tomorrow and they got a wet paint sign, do not touch. I'm touching. You know why? I don't, that ain't wet. That surely that ain't wet. That's just something in my nature. And I'll confess tonight. Speed limit's 55. I'm doing 65. 65, I'm doing 75. You say, ain't that breaking the law? I believe in grace. Grace. Amen. And so, you know, I push the limits, and that's just the way it is for me. And I believe that's human nature, by the way. Don't you? And so, and so tonight we need to see that God can do a work and sanctify us unto Himself. You can't live under a bunch of rules. But if you realize you're wanting to get close to Him, well, there's a work done right there. And then God starts doing the work in your heart. See, Jesus, I don't believe He's standing still today. I believe He's on a journey. And He's still moving. Just as He did when He was going through Galilee and Capernaum, Jerusalem, all those places. Jesus was on the move. He was working, doing something. God's not done. He's still moving today. And I believe we need to be walking with Him. Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed? The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. And one thing I would love to have on my tombstone when I pass away is this man walked with God. There's no greater testimony than that. He walked with God. Not stood with God, walked with God. Well, if God's walking, then I want to follow Him close, don't you? And I don't want to be lagging behind. The Bible says that when Jesus was going to the high priest's house, about to be crucified, Peter was following Him, but guess what Peter was? He was afar off. Guess what happened to Peter? He got in trouble because he was afar off. And you'll get in trouble if you stay afar off. And you can sit in church and be afar off. You can be a Baptist and be afar off. You can be saved and be afar off. But if you have true revival, you get close.
Amen.
And the Bible says that Jesus prayed, sanctify them. Set them apart unto me. And Jesus even said this, even as I've sanctified myself. Jesus did that. He said, I pray you'd sanctify them. So tonight I want you to show you something in this as we think about this. You can try to motivate people to get closer to the Lord in a bunch of different ways. And it may work for a little bit, but it ain't going to last long. You know, you can try to motivate people through fear. But after a while, they're going to realize what I'm scared of is not happening, and they'll drift right back. And some people, you can get up here and you can preach on the judgment, and you can preach on danger, and you can preach on God will do this if you don't do this, and you can beat, and you can beat, and you can beat, and you can beat. And you can get people a little nervous, and they can do something, but they ain't going to last long out of fear. Because fear itself is not a motivator. And you can try to promise people rewards. You know, you can say, well, if you do this, God will bless you. Or, you know, if you invite this many people to come, we'll give you an award and do this and do that. Rewards won't last either. Because eventually, you know what you're going to do? Every single person, man, woman, you're going to do what's in your heart.
Amen.
The greatest motivator is love.
Amen.
If you love the Lord Jesus with all your heart and all your soul, and then you get close and you want to get close. And tonight, if that's your desire, let's listen to what Jesus prays. He says, sanctify them. Set them apart. And I'm going to show you four things about this sanctification. And hopefully tonight we can all leave here saying, oh God, if anything else, get me close. Get me close, get me close. I'm not satisfied sitting in church. I'm not satisfied being saved. I want to get close. I mean, as close as I can get. And so the Bible says first thing we need to see is about sanctification. There's two things that God will give us. And there's two things He wants us to understand. When you bring all them together, sanctification starts to fall in place. Now, I've been in church my whole life. I ain't got it all figured out, but I've been in church my whole life. Been in the Baptist church, the King James, KJV preaching. I mean, right down the line, everything I can think of. And there's been many times I've sat in church and been afar off. And there's been many times I've been close. And there's no greater joy than walking with Jesus. No greater joy. The first thing is this. God gives us the power to get close to Him. Now you may think, well, that don't really make sense. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power. What? To become the sons of God. See, when God saves you, He didn't just say, now that you're saved, and He throws the Bible at you saying, do these things. That ain't what happens. When God saves you, He does something inside you. He puts a work in you, and He puts a power and a desire and a want to. A change happens on the inside. A lot of people, if you're lost, you don't understand it. So many lost people say, you know, I'm thinking about getting saved, but I don't think I can live it. You're exactly right.
Amen.
You're exactly right. He does something on the inside. He changes your want to. Changes your desire. The Bible tells us in Philippians that it's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The will, where'd the will come from? God gave me that. The night I got saved, God gave me a desire. So when we look at sanctification, there's two things that He gives me, and there's two things He wants me to understand. The first thing He gave me the power to do that. See, a lost person can't walk with Jesus. You know, a lost person can go to church. And a lost person can quit cussing. And a lost person can sing in the choir. A lost person can read the Bible. A lost person can be baptized. But a lost person can't walk with Jesus. It's impossible. They can't do it. See, they'll walk. They might walk with the crowd.
Right.
They might walk in religion, but walking with Jesus is something totally different. Walking with Jesus is, there's a special peace. There's a special joy. There's a special fellowship that only me and Him have. Because I'm part of the family. I'm part of the family. See, some of you may know Sandra, and you may know her name, and you may know that she's half crazy. Amen? And you may know certain things about her, and you may get to know her, and the more you talk to her, the more you get to know her. But I know her. You know how I know her so well? Because I'm in the family. God's done something in me that we walk together. You see the difference? Until you get in the family, you'll never walk with Jesus. So the first thing is, He gave me something. Then He wants me to understand two things. And the first thing He wants me to understand, as far as sanctification, John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He wants me to understand this. He wants me to understand grace. And you may think that don't make sense, but God wants you to understand grace. Because until you understand grace, you're not going to walk with God.
Amen.
I promise you, you're not. You know when I first understood grace? It's going to shock you. When I went to Bible college. I went to Bible college, got my doctorate, and during that time is when I started to understand grace. I started to figure it out. That's what grace means. I'd sung Amazing Grace 1,000 times. I'd read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, that we're saved by grace 1,000 times. But when it dawned on me what grace was, it changed me. Completely changed me. I went from striving to enjoying. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between striving and just doing everything you can to get it all right and to do it all right. And then when you figure out, it's grace. I ain't talking about getting saved. I'm talking about understanding what grace is. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to show you this. I want to try to give you... He says, through thy word is truth. So we want to use scriptures for what we're trying to say tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. Look what the Bible tells us. If you read Ephesians, this will help some of you students of the Bible. If you read Ephesians, the chapters 1, chapters 2, and chapters 3 talk about your riches in Christ. Talk about that great love wherewith He loves us. Talk about that power that He gives us. And it talks about how we're so rich in Christ, so rich in Christ, and He tells us how good we are, or how good He's given us, the unspeakable riches of His glory. And He just keeps pouring on and pouring on. But then, between chapter 3 and chapter 4, Paul turns, and he goes from doctrine to duty. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, look what he says. Verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. What's he saying now? He's went to tell you how good God is, and he's went to tell you how much love he's given you to set. He's saying, I urge you. I urge you. What does he say? I urge you, I beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now, what would make you want to do that? If you read chapters 1, chapters 2, and chapter 3, you'd know why you want to do it. Because you realize how good God's been to you. You see the difference? See, here's the Lord. We'll say the Lord's here. We'll use this. We'll use the God can. God's here, and we're on a journey. If I'm back here lagging behind, what would make me want to get closer to Him? What would give me the motivation to keep up? What would give me the motivation? Would it be, well, if I don't, He'll punish me? Well, if I don't, He'll whip me? Well, if I get up there, then He'll give me something. He'll bless me. He'll answer my prayers. That ain't going to last long. What give me the motivation to get up there? Because I don't want to disappoint Him. Why would I not want to disappoint Him? Because of how good He's been to me through His grace. And when I realize He's been so good to me, He wants me right there by His side. I want to get close to Him. That's grace. Do you see that? See, tonight, you know what I figured out? By going to Africa, by being around lost people, by getting older, 29, having a daughter who's married, having a son who's married, seeing their childhood go past, having a mom who's in heaven, a dad who's in heaven, me and my wife spending more time together now, empty nest. You know what I'm starting to realize now? How good God's been. Starting to dawn on me. Boy, God's been good to me. I'm starting to realize, shoo. I mean, just in 2 weeks when I get on an airplane and I touch down on that dusty place, Mozambique, and it's desolate, and I can't find anything cold to drink, and I'm hanging around people that's got malaria and HIV, flies flying all around them, don't know how to read and write, no education, no shoes, nothing. And I take an empty Coke can and hand it to them. They jerk it out of your hand and want to use it for a toy. Those little kids can. And I, you know what I start to realize? My. How good God's been to me. You know what yesterday when my son stood up, my daughter stood up back there, and both of them was living for the Lord. Both of them raised their hand when I was talking about where'd you get saved. And they said, I got saved at my house. Both of them sitting there with their spouses, and their spouses are saved. You know how I start thinking about, well, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to have a daughter who loves the Lord and a son who loves the Lord. My daughter said after church, she said, Daddy, you preach good. I was taking notes back there. That stir your soul. Hey, that'd make you, that'd excite you one time. And then realize, hey, I've never had a call from the Buncombe County Detention Center. My son's up there. He's overdosed or he's drunk. I've never had to deal with going to a rehab place for my children. Hey, my wife's sitting back there after 27 years. I've never had to go to a marriage lawyer. I've never had to deal with that. She'd say, well, preacher, I have. I'm just telling you how good God's been to me. And this morning, or this evening, you know what I did? I walked down the steps to my basement by myself without any assistance. I was able to tie my own shoes. I was able to take a spoon today. My wife fixed me chicken pan pie for supper. I was able to take a fork, put it to my own lips. Nobody had to feed me. I went and turned the spigot on and brushed my teeth this morning with clean water. I was able to open the Bible a while ago. I got my own copy of God's Word. Read it myself. When he was up there testifying, and he's talking about the Lord, I was thinking about, hey, I remember calling on the name of the Lord. My name's written in the Lamb's Book. Grace, 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 grace. And I realize I don't deserve any of that. None of that. I don't deserve one bit of that. I don't deserve to have a car in the parking lot. But my name, my wife even know my name. And then I said, who did all that? God did all that. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from Him. It comes from Him. So, and all of a sudden, me lagging behind, and his number one desire is what he prayed. He said, I pray you get him close to me. So you know what I say? Just like Joseph when Potiphar's wife kept trying to get him to sin. You know what Joseph said? How can I do this thing and sin against God? You know what Joseph said? God's been too good for me. I ain't doing that. You know why I want to get close to him tonight? Because he wants me to. That's the only reason. That's the only good reason to get close to it. You say, why would you do it? He's been so good to me. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to disappoint him. My dad was old country boy. Worked at the Champion Paper Mill. He retired from over there about 40 years in Haywood County. You tend to see people close that plant down because you want the clean water. I don't understand what's wrong with suds in the water. Perfectly fine. I'm kidding with you. Listen. But I remember my dad worked at the Champion Paper Mill, and he worked swing shifts. And it was hard work. And my dad would, every baseball, basketball, football, he'd sign us up, pay for our new shoes and pay for our cleats and pay for us to play and make sure we got to practice on time. And every summer, he'd take us on vacation. And I still remember overhearing a conversation. He borrowed money one time to take us on vacation. That's not a smart thing to do, but he did it. And every year we'd go back to school shopping. And I got to think about all those things. You know what used to stir my soul if my dad said this? Now, sometimes he might get mad and jerk his belt off. And he might get mad and raise his eyebrows. And, you know, you get all tore up about that. But boy, if my dad ever done this, son, I'm disappointed in you. Just melt me. Why? I don't want to break his heart. I don't want to hurt him. He's been too good. Been too good. You know what the Bible says? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know the only people that can grieve him? Is those that he loves. Those that he loves. So tonight, sanctification. Number one, God gave me something. He gave me the power to do this. There's no excuse. None. You say, well, it's 2024 and the school's hard. Blap, win, win, win. We whine all day. God give you the power to do it. He did. I don't care where you work, where you go to school, what your family life is like. God give you the power to do it. I promise you. According to the Word of God, He gave it to you. Second thing, God wants you to understand grace. And when you understand grace, I do it because of how good He's been to me. The only way I can pay Him back is to just meet His desires. He just asked me to do something. Walk with me. Walk with me. Tonight, it's time we get legalism out of our Baptist churches. Get it out. I mean, cleanse it. And it's in a lot of us. A lot of us. A lot of us, we need to read Galatians and memorize it. I mean, you go to the book. Turn with me right fast. I want to show you something. Turn back one book. We're in Ephesians. Go back to Galatians. I want to show you something. Galatians chapter number 3. The Galatians had been saved. They'd received Christ. But look what happens in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 1. Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, but for whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? Then he says this, verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now we all know we received the Spirit by faith. Amen? But then look what he says in the next verse. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Listen, it's not you and your striving. It's not you and your rules. It's grace. I was saved by grace. I walk by grace. I serve Him by grace. And the more I realize how good He's been to me, the closer I'll get to Him. You say, preacher, I can't sit there and testify all those good things that you've had. I've had a bad family life, and I've had bad health, and I've had bad this. Get on the plane and go with me in 15 days, and I'll show you something. I'm serious. I'll show you something. I guarantee you, at least one time, there's a man over there named So-So, and he's one of my best preachers. So-So's going to be traveling with us in a little Toyota pickup truck this time as we go to that new province. So-So is a singer. And when he stands up and sings, all heaven falls. And those people start singing and start worshiping the Lord. And more than one time I've been sitting there and thinking, wow, I would love to take a little dose of this to America. Amen. You know why? Because I'm there with people. Listen, they buried a baby. They have no health care. They have nothing. They have malaria. Their crops are dead. They're starving to death. And when it comes church time, they are singing their guts out about how good God is. Isn't that amazing? And I'm sitting over there. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm sitting over there going, wish I had something cold to drink. And before long, I'm like, poor pitiful me. This is terrible. They're worshiping God. I'm supposed to be the missionary. If God's been good to you. If you're alive, He's been good. If you're saved, He's been really good. I mean, really good. So we want to serve Him because of how good He's been by grace. And that's what the Bible teaches us. Let me show you one more verse right fast to show you. Sanctification comes by walking by grace. Turn me to 2 Peter chapter number 3. I want to show you this one. I've read this verse of Scripture so many times and been over it and tried to dissect it and break it down. And it starts dawning on me exactly what it means when you break it in with sanctification. 2 Peter chapter number 3. At the end, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. The Bible says, this is Peter, how he ends his whole second epistle. He says this, but grow in what?
Grace.
Yeah. Now that don't mean you're going to get more grace. You grow in grace. But grow in grace. And in what? Knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So if you're going to grow in grace and knowledge, how would you do that? Understand how good God's been.
Yes, sir.
Understand how good He's been. Then I want to repay Him by meeting His desires. My mom passed away in 1999. And she passed away before I ever had children. She never got to meet my son or my daughter. I've tried to love my mom and tried to, be good to her. But I never got to thank her And I never got to honor her like I should have, because I didn't realize how good she'd been to me until I had children of my own. So once I had children of my own, and once I seen Sandra love those babies, once I seen Sandra, how she treated them when they were, they don't even remember the good things Sandra done for them. They don't remember the midnight feedings. They don't remember the pain she went through during labor and 9 months leading up to that, sick. And so they don't remember any of that. And I don't remember my mom doing it, but after I seen and understand now what she did, I wish I could give her a big old hug.
Amen.
And honor her. You know what that is? That's growing in grace. Growing in knowledge. Don't wait till you get to heaven and say, boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to thank Him. Well, shame on you.
Amen.
You ought to realize how good He's been now.
Amen.
All right, so let's go on. Let's see. So we want to see that He gives us two things, but we want to understand two things. He's given us power. We need to understand grace. Also, we need to understand this. We need to understand His love. If you understand His love, you'll walk closer to Him. Did you know that? Turn with me right fast. I want to show you something. The book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 4. Now, I believe in the fear of the Lord. And I believe when we see Him, Brother Pastor Fanoy, you just got through mentioning a while ago, when you get there, the first thing you're going to do is follow at His feet. And I believe that. I believe there ain't a person in here going to run up to Jesus and give Him a hug. Ain't a person in here going to run to your grandfather first. I believe when we get there, first thing we're going to see is the one, the Lamb of God. And I believe we're going to do exactly what Isaiah did, exactly what John did on the Isle of Patmos. We're going to fall. We're going to bow. We're going to be overwhelmed with His holiness. I believe that. Because He's greater than we can even fathom. But the Bible tells us that we can anticipate that meeting with excitement and confidence. Think about that. With confidence and excitement, we can anticipate that meeting. As I've shared with you, I've lost my mom, lost my dad, I've lost all four of my grandparents, I've lost several loved ones that are now in heaven, and I'm starting to realize people say, when you get older, you get more excited about going. And you do. You know why? Because you got more over there than you do here. You start to realize that your family keeps piling up over there, and you start to say, hey, it'll be a great homecoming. And so I'm thinking about, when I see my dad, I'm not going to be nervous. When I see my mom, I'm not going to be nervous. When I see my grandfather, I ain't going to be nervous. Why am I going to be nervous? Because I know they love me. I know they love me. But most of us in here, we think about, when I see Jesus, I'm scared. You know what the problem is? You don't understand His love.
Amen.
Now think about that. If it ever dawns on you and you ever realize how much He loves you, you'll anticipate that meeting with peace and excitement. Look at the Bible, 1 John chapter number 4. We understand His love, we want to get close to Him. 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 17 says this, herein is our love made perfect. How? What is He talking about? Herein is our love made perfect. Herein is our love perfect. We've come to a mature understanding of His love. Herein is our love grown. And we understand the love of God. Now, a lot of people are afraid to preach on the love of God because they're afraid. Everybody's going to think you're a liberal. Let me tell you something. The love of God is what sent Jesus to the cross.
Amen.
It's love.
Amen.
And you know what lost sinners need to hear? God loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. I'm telling you, He loves you. And the Bible says, herein is our love made perfect. What else does that verse say? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Confidence. Confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Listen to verse 18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. In other words, when I realize His love, and it dawns on me how much God loves me, that fear starts to go away. Any of you ever remember your first date with your wife or your husband? Remember that? Son, scared to death, hands sweating, heart beating out of your chest. Remember what it's like? Remember what it's like? I remember the first time I called Sandra, I said, oh my word. I'm getting ready to dial this phone, scared to death. I mean nervous. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Remember the first time you got the guts up to reach over and hold her hand? I was afraid to. My hands sweat when I get nervous. I'm like, oh, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. No way. Made me nervous. Scared. Why? Because I wasn't sure how she felt about me. I wasn't sure. So it makes you nervous. That's why you're nervous. Guess what? I'm sure how he feels about me. Think about that. Are you sure how he feels about you? Are you sure? Are you sure that you understand the fact that God loves you? In spite of all your mess, in spite of your doubts and your warped up, quirky ways, in spite of all your sins and your hidden secrets, he loves you. Not only loves you, he accepts you. And he wants you and he desires you to get close to him. If you ever understand that love, boy, it'll change you. Now everybody sits in church and say, yeah, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. But is it dawned on you? And do you walk with him so intimately that you can say, yes, we're walking together? Like this. Step in step. You ever seen two people that they're so connected that they walk together? They can finish each other's sentences. I'm going to tell you about my wife. Coming down the road, I started to tell a story and she finished it. And it made me mad. And I started to make up another story. And she said, no, that ain't what she was going to say. This is what she was going to say. And she finished it. And then she proceeded to tell me that I need to increase my brain capacity. You know what the problem is? She just knows me too well. How many of you men, your wife or your mom knew everything? When you done something wrong, you walk in, she knew you was guilty. And then you moved away from your mom and you married somebody and just like her. Because now they know you. Everything about you. But the Bible says that we can walk with God and be that close to him. Can you believe that? Can you believe you can walk through God in this world and be that close to him? Imagine walking to him so close. Enoch was that close to him. If you ever read that scripture, and I mentioned it earlier, I mentioned it yesterday. Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, for God took him. He was so close to him that he said, God just said, seriously, just come on to my house. Just come on to my house today. You know what's going to happen one day? I'm going to be ready to take my last breath. Wouldn't it be something to be so close to him, God just says, just come on to my house today. And I not be nervous. I not be so scared. Oh, no, I'm going to the judgment. Because I've walked with him so well. Just come on. That's love. Did you know that? And that's understanding his love. Let me give you this fourth thing about sanctification. You can answer God's prayer tonight. Did you know that? Did you know that you can have true revival tonight? Most of us are somewhere around in here. We're around in here. But we can be there. We can be there. Let me show you this right fast. Come here, Brother Vinoy. You're going to be a type of the world. Because we know you're full of it. Amen. Come here, Mr. Choir Director. You'll be a type of the Lord. Amen. You'll be a type of the Lord. I'm going to show you where we're at. This is where we're at, 2024. Honestly. Come here, Brother Vinoy. Do you remember a time, I know there's some older people in here, do you remember a time when the lost people had respect for the church? Do you remember a time when lost people, if they knew the preacher was coming, they'd get scared and hide their alcohol and clean up? You remember a time when people, listen, homosexuality has been around for thousands of years. But there was a time if a man was or woman was lesbian or homosexual, they're scared and ashamed. Shamed. There was a time when a man and woman, if they lived together and they weren't married, they're ashamed. They're ashamed of it. And there was a time that the world wasn't that far from the church. Honestly. There was. But what's happened over the years is the world has gotten a little further. And it keeps getting further and further. Now here we are. We got saved. And we're supposed to be right here. We're supposed to be right here. And God's not moved, and He can't move. The day God moves, He's no longer God because He's holy. Here's God. But the world, and we're looking at them thinking, the world's gone crazy. And has it gone crazy?
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you don't think it's gone crazy, you're crazy too. I mean, listen, the world's gone so crazy now that we got men going in women's bathrooms. I mean, that's nuts. Don't you agree? The world's gone so crazy now that we've got grown men getting on a computer checking girls 12, 10, 11, 12 years old out without any clothes on, and we're lusting after children.
Yeah.
The world's gone so crazy that now the majority of America believes that if a woman is expecting a child, she has every right to take that child. We're killing babies. We're murdering babies. That's how far we've gone. We've gone so far now that the world's joined the church, and we got preachers standing up saying, if you want Muhammad, or you want Confucius, or you want Jesus, whatever you want, as long as you're sincere, fine. There's many paths to heaven. And on and on and on we go. And now we've gone so far now that we're telling our children, our second and third grade children, you know what we're telling them? That you decide what you want to be, a boy. You decide if you want to be a girl.
Yeah.
And we're telling them, you pick. The world's gone crazy.
Right.
You know what? And we're sitting here thinking, what in the world's happened? Don't you agree?
Right.
But guess where we're at?
Amen. Yes, sir.
We're right here.
Yes, sir.
You know what we're saying? I can't believe how far they've gone. But the problem is, oh no, how far have I gone? What am I doing down here? You know where we're at? We're where the world used to be. And God ain't moved a bit. And Jesus' prayer 2,000 years ago is the same as it is today. Oh God, sanctify them. Set them apart, but not just apart, but unto.
Right.
I want my children,
yes, Lord,
by my side.
Amen.
I remember my mom saying, the greatest days of my life is when my little ones were around my feet.
That's right. Amen.
Close to me.
Thank you, Lord.
First thing is, God gives you the power to do it. Then God wants you to understand, oh, you've been so good to me.
Mm.
What more can I give you other than just to walk close with you? And then the third thing, He wants you to know, oh, you know, if I ever know how much I love you, let's just walk together.
Amen.
Then the fourth thing is this. Y'all can be seated, men. The fourth thing is this. When you walk close to Him, God will give you something. And this is when it gets good. You know what God will give you? God will give you a moment. He'll give you a moment. You can't have a moment if you ain't walking with Him. You get a moment. You ever seen that? How many of us have a dog? Yeah. Half America has got 10 dogs. You ever seen a dog? He just stays right there with his owner. Stays right there with his owner. And I've seen them. And my owners don't pay attention to them. But that dog's right there. That dog's right there. And that dog stays right there. And that man may go out there working. He may do this. And that dog's right there. But every now and then, you know what that man will do? He'll pat him.
Yeah.
Pat him on the head and pet him and say, good boy.
Yeah.
That dog. That's my master. That's my master.
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting on. He gave him a moment. Let me tell you something. There ain't nothing in this world better than God gives me a moment.
Amen.
Yeah. When's the last time you had a moment? When God gives you a moment, you know you're walking with Him.
Amen.
The reason some of you ain't had a tug in a long time, you're following afar off. You get close, I'm telling you, He's going to give you a pat on the head. He's going to give you a hug. He's going to say, that's my boy. Good boy. Good boy. You say, well, that seems demeaning. He's my master. I'm just waiting on Him to give me a moment. And boy, sometimes He does, and when He does, it fires me up so much. I could absolutely... that's what revival is.
Amen.
Is when you get that moment. That's what I've been waiting on the whole time. I remember me and Sandra this past December. You never know when a moment's coming. You never know when it's coming. We was on the Christmas date. And we went in this little concert. And I sat in there, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't in too good of a mood. And I sat in there, and all of a sudden, they started singing. And they started just singing about the Christ. And then before you know it, they started singing, "We Three Kings." And them kings, they had kings bringing in gifts, and they were marching, bowing down to the Savior. And then they just kept singing about the glory. And then the next thing you know, son, my heart got stirred. And I'll be honest with you, I had one foot in heaven and one foot in that concert. And it started coming out of my eyes. And I was like, glory to God, this is great. It's good to have a taste of heaven. How'd you get that? I was close. You know the reason our churches are full of people that don't have anything? Because they ain't walking with Him. They ain't walking with Him. And you walk with Him long enough and He gives you a good boy. That's what I've been waiting on. It happened to me. Let me give you one more testimony. It happened to me just a few days ago. Turn with me right fast. I'm going to give us a verse of Scripture. Come on up. Y'all ready to sing that, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee"? You can play it. Can you play it? Make it up. Play it. All right. Turn with me right fast to Acts. I want to show you something. Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter 16. And I'll give you something, a little insight about me. I am obsessed with Paul and his missionary journeys. I think Paul and his missionary journeys, it's just, every preacher has their thing that they just become very passionate about. Well, Paul and his missionary journeys is something I'm real passionate about. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 16, look what it says. Paul was going on his way. In Acts chapter 16, he found Timothy. And he kept continuing on his way. And the Bible says, look, the Bible says in verse number 6 of Acts chapter number 16. It says, "And we had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Now, Paul was going to go towards Asia, towards Turkey in that way. But the Bible says the Holy Ghost kind of put a break on him. Then the Bible says, verse number 7, "And after they had come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia, and they came down to Troas." Now here they are in Troas. Watch. And they're minding their own business. And the Bible says, in verse number 9, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, and he prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'"
Amen.
Now you say, "Well, preacher, what's that got to do with anything?" There's a man prayed, "Come over in Macedonia and help us." Then Paul turned and went that way. And when Paul turned and went that way, guess where he comes into? Philippi. And all those places towards Europe in that way. That's where he comes to. Just a few days ago, I'm sitting here minding my own business on my phone, like a good Baptist preacher. My translator, Henry. He's my best friend in the ministry. Henry sends me something. And this is what he says to me. This is where God just stirred my heart.
Amen,
stirred my heart. He says, now I'm going into Niassa province. 60-65% Muslim. Total new province. It's right below this province called Cabo Delgado. If you study Cabo Delgado, Mozambique, that's where the past 2 or 3 years they've been beheading Christians. And they've ran many of them out. And they've tortured them. And they've been fleeing that province by the thousands and thousands. And every province I've been in Mozambique's been safe. But now I'm getting close. I'm in one province right below that one in Niassa province. This is what he says. He sends me this. He says, "The doors are really open for us in the Niassa province. The office we went to register, we met the man and he said, 'Listen, I have been looking for people to work here to plant churches, and God has answered my prayer. So you will see him next month, and we will be together in Melange.'" You say, why does that excite you? That's right there where the Bible is. Listen, he was right here, and Paul was going this way, and a man was praying. We need somebody to help us. To help us. Send somebody over here to help us. And here I am, 2024. I'm in Western North Carolina, minding my own business, going this way. And then there's a man in Yasa Prophets praying, oh God, send somebody over here to help us. Help us. And guess what happened? God said, had a boy. Go get them. Son, if that don't fire you up, something wrong with you. Hey, that's living for him. That's right there where he's at. That's when you get close to him, he'll give you, good job. Good job. And your story may be different than mine, but you hang around him long enough, he'll give you a pat. He'll give you that a boy. He'll give you that a girl. And you'll get a moment. And those moments will be the step you need to keep on walking. And the reason we're having people fall out, fall out, fall out, is because they're just not close. If you don't know that, is he here? Come play something else for me. Listen, tonight, this is it. This is it. That song I was going to get him to sing is, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Grant it, Jesus. Grant it. May it be so. You know what I'm praying? Same prayer Jesus prayed. Jesus said, sanctify them. You know what my prayer is for revival tonight? You ought to find a place in this altar and say, daily walking close to thee. Grant it, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Amen. What a prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
What a prayer. Yes. You can pray that with confidence. Let it be. Oh, dear Lord, let it be. Daily walking close to thee. I wonder tonight, let's bow our heads for a minute. Let's play something soft and slow for a minute. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Hey, if you're here tonight, you don't have that peace. You don't have that assurance. Oh, step one, you need to get in. Step one, you need to get in. Tonight, if you're already in, step two, why don't you get close to him tonight? Say, Lord, I want to answer your prayer. I want to walk as close to you as I can possibly walk. Let's reverse it with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I wonder who'd say, preacher,